Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one here. Glad that you're here with us this morning. Truly, it is a blessing to be gathered together again here this morning. Just thinking back a couple of weeks, we we're meeting at a different place, and we had a prayer for a number of people that were desiring to go on a mission work. And I think we prayed that they would have a safe journey and a time that was profitable. And it's easy to go through those, and we go to our thing, and we come back, and most of us are back safely at home, except for Josh, and we forget. We just assume that it's going to happen, and so I just wanted to take that time and just recognize that God's hand of protection over us, over you, and we have a lot to be thankful for. Like to just pause and maybe we can pray together. Maybe we can stand and we'll pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for your hand of protection over us. We thank you for giving us the opportunity and the privilege of gathering here and to just hear your word being preached. We thank you for your word that was brought forth already. Lord, I thank you for bringing the crew of the people that were traveling and doing work down south. We thank you for bringing them home safely and for giving them traveling mercies. And Lord, I just pray that as we are spending time together here this morning, I just pray that you would, again, that you would minister to the needs that we have. I just pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. I also pray for those that are not here with us this morning. Those that are listening in, we just pray that they would be encouraged. And Lord, we do pray for those that choose not to be here, those that are going other places. We just pray, lift them up to you and just pray that you would work in hearts and lives. Lord, we just want to commit this time to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning for a message, the title that I have chosen as a question, will your foundation stand in the storms of life? Most of us recognize that in the physical sense, we expect to experience some kind of resistance, some kind of storms, something that will set us back, or if we're not prepared for it, will set us back. And we can probably all go through our physical sense of life in over the past week, and we can point out things that wasn't expecting that, and most of us were hopefully prepared to work, we're able to work through those things and come out the other side and be okay. When we build buildings, depending on where we live, we build differently. In Maine here, when we build a building, we think about foundations, how they should be built to be protected from the frost. We think about our snow loads. And we think about the cold coming in, and maybe not so much the heat of the summer, but some of that as well. But we normally don't really pay a lot of attention to high winds. But this past winter, some of us, or many of us maybe, were caught with exceptionally high winds, and we had some damage, because we don't often, we don't usually have to be prepared for that. In the South, they're more prepared for winds and not so much prepared for cold, and they don't need heavy roofs. When we were in Honduras, it was interesting to see that their houses, they were just looking for shelter. They weren't concerned about the cold, and it didn't seem that they were concerned about the heat or the roof. As long as it shed water, it was good. And so we see the difference in the different areas. For us as people, and thinking about our foundations and who we are and how we get to be where we are, I'd like for us to think about our foundations, and that our being starts when we are born. And when we're little, we have little say to the things that form us and shape us. God intends for us to have people in our lives that will guide us well, to teach us. We've all been raised by parents, and we've had some kind of upbringing. Some of us had a maybe a stronger upbringing than others, but I think that most of us here have experienced a lot of energy put into us. We were sent to schools or put into maybe homeschooling to teach us, to prepare us for life. We had friends that taught us, that helped us along the way. And our life was formed more or less by the input of others, by the things that we allowed into our lives. So the first 15 years, 20 years of our life, we are formed, we have a foundation, we have props in our lives that support us. Then we come to a place, hopefully, if we were presented to the gospel, to Christ, we come to a place in life where we see that we have spiritual needs in our lives, where our upbringing isn't enough, where we realize before God that we are sinners and that we need salvation, and the things that have been holding us in place are not enough, and that we need a different foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. Just a couple of verses that I had meant to read right in the beginning here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Verse 19, if you don't remember anything else in this sermon, I'd like for you to remember verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Remember that God knows who you are. And just, if we can just hang on to that. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Talking about coming to a place of understanding and realizing of our need for repentance. And hopefully we have come to the place and have experienced this, that we have repented of our sins and have been converted. And like Chad mentioned, that our sins are blotted out through the blood of Jesus, and that we that we're living in that hope this morning. First Corinthians chapter 3. We look at this chapter. In the first part of this chapter, we see the heading on my Bible says, a carnal state prevents spiritual growth. And we can see that the first number of verses here, that man was arguing, and there was maybe envy and strife going on. We drop down to verse 9 here, Christian service and its reward. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We're reminded here in this verse that we are God's building. Do we live in an awareness of that as God's people as we go to and fro? When people meet you, what do they remember you as one of God's people? I trust. If that's not the case, if they see us as something else, we have some work to do. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Going down to verse 11 in the foundations, we see the work that will stand, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. And I believe that God, as we look at being God's building, as we think about being the temple of God, and that is who we represent. God's desire for each one of us, his will for us, is that we would stand strong, that we would be able to withstand the storms of life. How does he accomplish that? I believe he tries. He tries us. And he wants to mold and shape us along the way. He wants to prepare us for those trials that we're going to go through. He wants to see us being able to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. Things that are not going to burn up. Things that are going to last. He wants to reveal himself through his people, which is us here, which is those that have proclaimed Jesus as their Savior, and those that are living a life for the Lord. So when we experience difficulty in life, remember that God is preparing us and seeing how we what we make of those things. This morning, as we look at our lives, is our building sitting on the right foundation? When we think about the first part of our lives and then coming to the Lord, when we came to Jesus, did we replace all of that? Did we give all of that to the Lord? And is he truly our foundation this morning? When we think about replacing foundations in a building, it looks a little scary. It feels like a vulnerable state to be in when we look at a building and realize when we see part of an old foundation, part of it being tore out and replaced with a better foundation, the process can be painful, and maybe in some cases it feels dangerous. But if it's done correctly, we know that it is always the good of the building. If I understand correctly, this building that we're in, there was a day that it was sitting on a different foundation. And I'm assuming the reason they chose to replace, give it a new foundation, is the foundation it was sitting on wasn't working. It was wore out. It needed a new foundation. And this morning, we need to be sitting on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And God, in his mercy, if he sees that we have things in our lives that we're propped on, that we're leaning on, that is outside of him, he knows that that is not going to work for us. And his desire is to see those things removed from our lives. There's a passage in the Bible where this took place. There was this man that had things in his life from his parents, and God spoke to him. And if we turn to Judges, we can see this passage. Judges chapter 6. Gideon was told, we go down to verse 25, dealing with things that we brought upon ourselves, and we have, God points out that we need to change. Sometimes it may be, I don't know, hurts our pride, but when we're asked to deal with things that maybe we had no say in, those things seem more scary. They're deeper ingrained in us. In Judges chapter 6, going down to verse 25, Gideon was told to tear down an altar that his father had, I think, built or was involved in. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father has, and cut down the grove that is by it. So he was told here to do something that his dad was doing. And build an altar unto the Lord, thy God, upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place. And take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. So God asked him here to step in and to destroy this altar that was in their land here. And Gideon was afraid. He didn't do it in plain sight. He waited for nighttime to do what God asked him to do, because he knew how important this was to the people. And when verse 28, and when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who has done this thing? And when they inquired, they asked, they said, Gideon the son of Joash has done this thing. So we see here, Gideon heard from the Lord, and he realized this thing needed to go that was part of his family. God was asking him to speak into this, to destroy it, and to offer a sacrifice unto God. Gideon, we see Gideon being faithful in standing up and doing what he was to do. He was to get rid of it. So we think about our lives, and God shows us areas in our lives, whether they're decisions, whether they're things that we have brought upon ourselves, or whether it's from things that we've inherited from our upbringing. And I don't want to make light of any of our parents, any of our families. None of us have, just like we're not perfect, none of us have perfect parents. But we can definitely respect them and appreciate them. And for all the godly things they've given us, we need to embrace those things and and use them to bring honor and glory to the Lord. But if we find ourselves with things in our lives that have been handed down, and God points out things in our lives, are we willing to do what Gideon did and rise up to the occasion and deal with those things and remove them from our lives? It's so easy for us to say when we come up against these things is, well, that's how I was born and raised. That's part of me. Whose statement? God is about changing lives. Are we going to fall for that? Are we going to stay in that state? Or are we going to do what Gideon did? He recognized that there was something that needed to be dealt with. And he did it. When God speaks to you, where do we go? He's looking for a people that will listen, that will obey, that will seek truth. When we take those steps like Gideon did, we will find victory in Jesus. If we don't, our story will probably look very different. In 1 Samuel 28, verse 5 and 6, we see the state that Saul was in. God showed him time and time again of things that he should do, and he always found an excuse or did something different. And finally, in chapter 28 of 1 Samuel, in verse 5, Saul saw the host of Philistines. They were coming against him. They were coming to him at war. And Saul was afraid. And his heart greatly trembled. In verse 6, Saul inquired of the Lord. And it says, the Lord answered him not. Samuel was gone. And Saul was seeking to find what he should do. He no longer felt the strength to venture out on his own. And he inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answered him not. And we know how that passage goes and how Saul sought out a woman that would give him the answers. And we know that Saul, it was the beginning of the end of Saul, and he was killed in that battle. So this morning, where do we find ourselves? In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, a passage that I would like for us to hang on to. This is the heart that God is looking for. This is the kind of people that God is seeking out. He's not seeking, it doesn't matter so much what we've done or haven't done, but it's very important that we come to this point in our lives. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This is the heart that God is looking for. And he's going to and fro, seeking you out. And if we humble ourselves before God, regardless of where we are, this is the promise that you can experience. In closing, just a couple of verses here. Just remember, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, tells us that you are God's building. God has invested in you. In chapter 3, verse 16, ye are the temple of God. And then in Luke chapter 6, verse 47 and 48. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house, and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. That's who God wants us to be. Those that are have digged deep, those that have humbled themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then he will hear us and it's going to forgive our sins and heal our lands. Heal our lives. And the promise that we have is in verse 47. Those that hear my sayings and do them. And he says he's going to show you to whom he is like. In verse 48, he describes that person that we are sitting on a foundation. If our life is hid in Christ and we're living for him, we can be assured that we are on a solid foundation and we don't have to fear the storms of life that are coming. We all know that storms are coming. We expect them in the physical sense. We expect, in Maine, we expect snowstorms. We expect cold. And sometimes they hurt. We expect our equipment to fail us. And we can go on and on. But we're willing and prepared to rise up to the occasion. And we find ourselves coming through the other side. Why? Because we've made preparation. And we're able to stand that. And God wants his people to be like this. And the world we'll look on in awe and recognize that those are God's people. May God bless.